going on, Packers fans? Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday, and the summer is here. Packers wrapping up OTAs today. All the guys, including the rookies, will be out and about, gone for the summer. School is out. And now we just wait for the start of training camp. Speaking of, the Packers released the training camp dates, the practice dates for training camp in 2026, and 12, maybe you can count it, 13 practices available for the public to watch, participate, etc. Down from, I believe, when I first started going to training camp as a member of Cheesehead TV, they would have roughly 22 to 24 open practices. Most of those in full pads. Now, I'm going to be in Green Bay for roughly 3 weeks, and I think I'm probably going to see 4 padded practices. The game done changed, man. It's a different world. And look, I've talked to so many people about this, both old school and new. One of my favorite conversations about the kind of different workloads in modern football and modern training camps came with Larry McCarron on the sideline, I want to say like 3 or 4 years ago, you know, and I jokingly said, could you imagine training camp like this back in your day? And he said, you know, yes, we worked an insanely kind of harder rate, the 2-a-days, full pads, etc. But, you know, Larry point blank said, this is way smarter, especially when you're considering the extra game that they play, 17 games, soon to be 18. We've seen certainly how the long slog of a season can catch up to you, can add up at the end, injury-wise. So don't really decry it. I understand the reasoning behind it, but it does change the whole vibe of training camp, right? You've got precious few hours on the practice field to begin with, and then of those hours, very, very little of it is spent in pads playing actual football. Which, of course, means that those practices that will be in pads, that we will get to watch, become, you know, all the more important, all the more interesting, all the more kind of focused on what guys are able to do once the pads come on. And especially when you're talking about rookies, even second-year guys, what they look like before things kick off in, you know, week one there in Minnesota, that makes it a little bit more intense as far as trying to get that work in, trying to make sure that you're not only right, but you're doing things the right way. And if you are making mistakes, you're quickly correcting them. You don't have those 20 practices and pads to get things right. Now, a lot of these guys, the young ones, will be playing in the preseason, which obviously serves that purpose. But we've heard LaFleur and many coaches around the league talk about how the practice stuff is actually way more valuable, especially when you're talking from a evaluation standpoint where you're controlling things and you're getting looks that you want to see them against, etc. It's very different, very, very different, but exciting nonetheless. I'll be flying in on July 26th. The shareholders meeting is Monday the 27th, and that is also the day that rookies and or guys coming off of injury will be reporting. Then the veterans report July 28th. And the first training camp practice is Wednesday, July 29th, 10:30 a.m. Be there, be square there at Ray Nitschke Field. Speaking of summer and, you know, kind of heading into this summer break, I am off next week. I will be out of town, no Packers Daily all of next week, but we will be dropping a video a day while I am gone. Our good friend Eddie over at the Beers and Balls show will be getting you guys through the last week of June. He's done 5 videos for us, various different subjects. We'll get a new one each and every day throughout next week. So please be kind to Eddie while he's here, and we'll be partnering with his YouTube channel. If you get a chance, please drop him a follow, subscribe to his YouTube channel. I think Eddie's got a really good handle on the Green Bay Packers. His views, you know, I'm not going to say they align perfectly with mine, but we have a similar viewpoint when it comes to the green and gold. So I think you'll enjoy that. Also, speaking of content here on the channel, I hope you get a chance to check out my conversation with Andy Herman. It dropped earlier this afternoon. We went through essentially kind of a 30,000-foot view of the offseason, what it's looked like for the Packers, how things are kind of shaking out after mini camp and what we kind of are looking for come training camp in a month or so. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you check out Eddie's stuff next week. And thank you, everybody, while you're here. I really appreciate each and every one of you who utilize Cheesehead TV in any way, shape, or form to connect to the Green Bay Packers. I say it all the time. It's not about us. It's not about our viewpoints. It's not about what we think about what the Packers are doing. It is about the team, right? And we all here try to, you know, get you closer to the team, what we think about it, yes, but also just what is happening and what it means to the green and gold and to fans worldwide. That's why we're here. All right, everybody. I got to get to our shout outs for you real quick, but I do want to say, I do think it's going to be interesting to see how quickly some of these rookies are able to contribute in 2026, given that this offseason we've had more kind of rookie participation with the ones than I think we've seen over a number of years. I mean, as far as like almost the entire class, and that should be interesting. That should be something that we're going to have to kind of follow, so to speak, throughout training camp and see if these guys kind of hit the ground running, right? It's going to be a good time. Before I get to your questions and comments, you know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. When you need Packers tickets, use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video. And you guys know, I got to give a shout out to ThetaCare, our good friends. Injuries happen, but ThetaCare Orthopedic Care helps you recover like a pro. From sprains to surgeries, they'll keep you moving. Don't let pain sideline you. Learn more at ThetaCare.org. All right, folks, what's going on? What's on your mind? How are you guys living? Evil Badger starting us off. Thank you, sir, for being a Care of the G Club member. Very upset with Fitzgerald. If they repeal the SBA of 61, broadcasting and player contracts will go down. Nah, I don't know about all that. I mean, I think go down as far as the total value. I suspect they would probably rise and continue to rise. But what, you know, for the Packers is so concerning is the loss of the shared revenue. And where the Packers would make that up. Now, I know we've talked a lot about the prospect of trying to find their own deal, their own broadcast deal, much like the Brewers have done over the course of the last X number of years. But in comparison to teams like, you know, LA, New York, Dallas, the major metropolitan areas, it will be dwarfed and the Packers will fall further and further behind. Of that, there is a little doubt. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, question I've always wanted to ask. Do you think our lack of success at winning important home games recently is because us as fans are way too friendly to opposing fans? Just curious. No, absolutely not. Got nothing to do with that. It's way more about the football on the field than it has anything to do with what's going on in the stands. No, Lambeau Field has been and always will be the best place for an opposing fan to watch a game. I've heard this so many times from so many people from so many different fan bases who have all descended on Lambeau as opposing fans and had a phenomenal time. That should never change. I've told the story before, but one of my favorite instances of this was a friend who went to the NFC Championship game as a Giants fan back in the day in 2007 and was very worried because after they got to their seat, they realized that their car had New York plates. Very, very worried that it was going to get keyed or, you know, vandalized somehow after the Giants had won. And he came back to the car and in the frost in the window, presumably a Packers fan had written, "Good luck in the Super Bowl." Like that's Lambeau. That's Green Bay. That's the way it's always been, at least in my lifetime. And that shouldn't change. Now, I understand the era is different, and certainly at some opposing stadiums around there in the NFL, the vibe is very, very different. But that has never been the case at Lambeau, whether the Packers were winning or losing. And that shouldn't change, ever. Jeff Jones, how are you, man? Will Jaden Reed's role change much this year? I don't think dramatically. I think obviously a big component here is staying on the field, staying healthy, but I suspect he'll be your main slot guy. You know, I don't doubt for a moment that they'll mix and match personnel. They always do. Matt wants to keep opposing defensive coordinators guessing, but certainly he has been mostly, if not almost primarily, a slot guy in Green Bay. I don't see that changing much. Now, what's interesting is that sometimes, and I was just rewatching kind of the first month of last season, and something that they do, which I think is interesting when it comes to Jaden Reed, is they have so many condensed formations that he can be a, quote, perimeter receiver, but he's still in almost inside the hash marks, and they're almost all condensed, so there's nobody on the perimeter, but he's playing essentially where he would be if they spread it out in a slot alignment, but now he's still the furthest out, right? He's still a quote-unquote perimeter guy. I think you'll continue to see a little bit of that. We saw a lot of that with Matthew Golden last year. I suspect, though, with the kind of big three, if you want to call it that, of Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and Matthew Golden, I think Golden and Watson will be your perimeter guys for the most part, and I think Reed will still continue to operate primarily from the slot. Now, nothing's 100%, but I think that's how they will undoubtedly want the kind of blueprint to be, right? Those are the three, and those will be their roles. Now, they will mix and match, and they will try to play with defensive tendencies and things like that. Motion will happen, obviously, changing kind of the look pre and post snap. But ultimately, Jaden needs to stay on the field, and if and when he does, yeah, he's going to be your slot guy predominantly. I don't think that will change in a dramatic fashion. Joe, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. How many days until new carry the G? That's an excellent question. We actually have a meeting about that in, I believe, 2 weeks. So hopefully we get some on the shelves around the Green Bay area when training camp kicks off. That's the goal. It's always the goal. We will see. Things sometimes take a little longer than expected, but that is the hope. And as I do each and every year, we will be having a meetup during training camp, hopefully at an establishment that has some carry the G. We'll be on the lookout for that. E4, how you doing, man? I remember to a day in high school, hydration was thought of as a bad thing. Head injuries were told to just walk it off. Much smarter today, thankfully. Yeah, you're not wrong, man. Much smarter, and I remember those days as well. Don't miss them. That's for sure. Mimsy, thanks for the super chat. Welcome to Mizorowski Weekly. Go Brewers. Yeah, I mean, the Miz doing what he's doing. How crazy is life right now? I mean, I understand most of the folks on this channel who are tuning in aren't New York-based or Knicks fans, but the Knicks have won a championship. The United States looks like it knows what the hell it's doing in the World Cup, and the Brewers got the Miz coming up every week. Like, it is just a beautiful time. It is a gorgeous time to be alive, people. I hope everyone's enjoying it because it's been amazing here in the last month or so. Jeff Jones, how you doing, man? I almost forgot that last season Jordan Love had 20 consecutive pass completions. He is him. Also, Go Pack Go. It's my birthday. That's 45 years of Packers. Jeff, happy birthday, brother. And yes, against the Steelers, I believe that 20 in a row happened. I mean, Jordan was on fire that night. No question about it. Obviously, Tucker Kraft was a big part of that, but also, you know, just seemingly locked in all night long against that Steelers defense. Outstanding stuff from Jordan. No doubt about it. Joe, very tinfoil hat question here. Do you believe there are certain NFL owners secretly pushing repeal of the SBA? Yeah, if you had asked me that maybe 10, 15 years ago, I probably would have said yeah. But now I don't believe so. I think they understand what has made the league so popular is the revenue sharing aspect, the way that teams sell hope. Now, some teams are more invested in winning than others, but financially, the way they have owned television over the last couple decades, right? And that only seems to continue to grow even as they do expand out into streaming. I think they understand that's the driver, right? That's the success of the league. I do think you go back 10, 15 years ago, you know, Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, they were somewhat pushing towards the end of revenue sharing. Jerry Jones had public quotes about it, right? Questioning how valuable it was. But I think given the success as a just a television juggernaut, the main reason, the biggest reason, is because of the way the league is set up for everyone to be able to share in that kind of broadcast revenue that has driven them to such big heights. I can't imagine there's someone looking to gut the golden goose on purpose. Now, hey, man, these dudes be crazy. So all it takes is one to make your point correct. But again, I just, on the face of it, I tend to doubt it. But you never know. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. Have fun on your vacation next week, Nags. I vote for a week-long banky on Packers Daily next week. Who's with me? Random Packer, Johnny Holland, legend. Absolute legend. Yeah, I think Corey would rather like roll around in glass than do a Packers Daily every day. But that's just guesswork on my part. How you doing, Nick? Happy birthday. Happy Friday, Broseph. Hope you're well. Go Pack Go. I am outstanding. It's been a hell of a week. It is wonderful to be alive today. Cannot wait for vacation. I'm very, 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 very excited. Sean, I like it. Very simplistic. Go Packers. Go Brewers. We the best. I mean, you're not wrong. You are not wrong. Oh, wow. Joe, what a question. If you could steal one player from another country to put on the U.S. World Cup team, who would it be? Damn. That is a really good question. Well, he's not even on the team, but I would steal Cole Palmer. Because I love Cole Palmer. I hate that he was left off England squad. I know why. He had a very down year. I get it. But, man, I'd love Cole Palmer on the U.S. That would be a lot of fun. Joe, you might be right. I think you underestimate, Joe saying this to me, I think you underestimate the absolute greed of some of these billionaires. I think some would absolutely gut the SBA if it meant a few more dollars in their pocket. You might be right. Like I said, I know that was a feeling among certain owners about a decade ago plus, but yeah, I don't know, man. There's certainly the possibility does exist. You're not wrong. But again, I think for the most part, these guys understand what's driving the popularity and the success of the league and I and or their teams. You know. E4, what's up? Antonio Freeman's son scoring a World Cup goal. Cool. Very cool. How great was that? And the fact that they had to go to VAR to uphold it and the closeness of the play itself echoing the he did what moment that his dad had at Lambeau all those years ago against Minnesota. And I even saw Vikings fans enjoying it. Like, that's how you know we're really kind of taking that next step as a nation when it comes to soccer and bringing people together, Vikings fans and Packers fans rooting together. Mass hysteria. I think it's great. Absolutely outstanding. What's up, RCS? Missed you on happy hour, buddy. Checking in from Colorado. What a match today. Go Pack Go. Hope you're good, brother. Hey, check out Bandcamp. There's something new for you there from Motel Men. And speaking of Motel Men, our new single comes out next week. I know you're not all fans of electronic music, but our new one drops Friday, June 26th. Hope you'll go stream it wherever you are. Hey, what's up? Thanks so much. Hey, Nagler, got the new Cheesehead TV Tucker Kraft shirt. Nut up or shut up. Got here just in time for my birthday on Sunday. 32 years. Blessed. Go, Pat, go. Pat, happy birthday. Yes, indeed. Nut up or shut up. A excellent mantra for the summer. And for the Packers season in general. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV's social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thank you so much, everybody. Like I said, I am off next week. No Packers Daily throughout the week. No happy hour. So you are on your own when it comes to Cheesehead TV content, other than Eddie dropping a video each and every day while I'm away. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. I'll see you when I get back. Go Pack, go.